No step is so small and so insignificant that it doesn't contribute to your life.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
All right, welcome and happy Monday. This is Carla Singson of None of Your Business. And today we are going to talk about something that I've actually subscribed to and believed in for a very long time. Thanks to my dad, actually my dad is a firm believer of the law of attraction. So that's our topic for today. I remember my dad telling me to watch The Secret. I think that's everyone's gateway drug to the law of attraction. It's a very famous book. And then after that, I just started noticing a lot of really good things happening in my life. And not just that, I also started to feel better. So all throughout, you know, I think I discovered the concept of law of attraction in my teenage years. And until now, I'm definitely still continuing to see it and still continuing to see the benefits of believing in it. So let me tell you a quick story. And this is how I'm going to introduce our guest for today. So a few days ago, I was looking to take a break from business books. Ever since I've started my quote-unquote mini sabbatical from November when I quit my CEO job in my own company, and now I'm just moving as like a business owner visionary position in another company that I own, I decided to read more books, focus on my health, and just kind of take it slow. I've read at least 20 business books. I've reread Traction. I've reread like Blitz Scaling, 100 Million Offers, and then even 4-Hour Work Week. And then I realized, you know what? I am kind of want to explore something else, something about mindfulness. And I saw this recommended book on my, like, I think Audible. And this book was called The Last Law of Attraction Book You'll Ever Read. And normally I would rebut statements like that, but this is very special because this book is actually written by a friend of mine. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I know this guy. So Andrew Kapp is our guest for today. He's the author of this book. And let me tell you guys, this is actually the best law of attraction book I've ever read. And I'm not saying that because we're friends. Honestly, we haven't talked for years and I had to reach out to him just to tell him how awesome it was. I listened to this book 3 times back to back because it's just so good. So Andrew Kapp, K-A-P, is best known for taking topics that many would find overwhelming and condensing them into actionable, more consumable content. After getting his perennial bestseller, The Last Law of Attraction Book You'll Ever Need to Read, past 100,000 copies in sales, Andrew followed it up by publishing Three Words I Used to Sell 100,000 Books, where he lays out an organic marketing strategy for success that any nonfiction author can implement on their first day of learning it. While written for authors whose content helps readers learn something, do something, or solve a problem or a challenge in their lives, the book is really also a sales and marketing manifesto in disguise, one with concepts and tactics that any motivated entrepreneur or business owner can modify for their growth and success. Both of Andrew's books obviously have enjoyed number one bestseller status in multiple categories on Amazon, and they continue to serve more readers like me with each passing day. So that was a long intro. Welcome, Andrew. How are you?
Great, Carla. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for laboring through that intro. It's funny. I have two different intros. It's like, what's the one that focuses on the last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read, and what's the one that focuses on three words I used to sell 100,000 books? And it's kind of funny because I go on, you know, I have interviews like this, and I never know what direction I'm going to go in because I have consciously kind of broken a rule of breaking out of a niche that I was already very successful in and dipping my toe into another one. But, you know, that was said, and you know, happy to take the conversation's direction. Obviously the stuff that excites me the most to this day is still the last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read, and all the content. And thank you so much for that compliment. I'm so glad to know that you really enjoyed it.
I really did. I really did. You know, I think the other like layer of me really liking it so much is it's so actionable. It's so easy. And concepts like this are usually very Western. I grew up in the Philippines and I grew up in a poor country. I grew up poor in a poor country. And sometimes concepts that are very Western are just not easily digested. So concepts like environmentalism, feminism, you know, people in the Philippines don't care about your pronouns, like honestly. Like, so we have like bigger, quote unquote, bigger problems. And, you know, and so sometimes concepts like this do not even fly in our radar. But this is why I love your book more, because it made it easy for me to understand. And I think like if more people, you know, in places like the Philippines would have access to this book, which you made so easy because it's super cheap. And there's a Kindle version and an Audible version. So it really is, I hope you can reach more people. I'll definitely make it part of my mission to, you know, to share and talk more about it with my following. So definitely, I'm curious, why did you decide to write a book on Law of Attraction out of all the topics out there?
So it's interesting, I guess, you know, the best way to make the most sense is kind of like say how I learned about Law of Attraction and like where it took me, because, you know, I wrote the book or published in 2019. I learned about the Law of Attraction back in 2004. And, you know, at that point I was, you know, a young struggling entrepreneur who quite frankly, and I'm sure a lot of people could relate, was like looking for the secret to happiness and success. And Law of Attraction was one modality of many that I was experimenting with and exploring and seeing how things would go. And really, to be candid, it was very hit and miss for me. It was very inconsistent. And I would figure out a couple of years later that it was actually me who was the inconsistent one, because I hit this really horrible wall in 2008 where within like less than a week, I basically lost the business I'd been struggling for years to like, you know, to get together. And I lost my girlfriend of 3 years. And, you know, when I say I lost her, she didn't break up in person. She didn't break up over phone calls. She broke up over text. So it's like, okay, 3 year relationship, but the breakup was over text. You know, things were not going very well. And I had to basically look in the mirror at like, and I was being dramatic about it. I kind of viewed it as like 90% of my life was gone in less than a week. And I had to look at myself in the mirror and say, okay, something's not working. I've wasted my 20s. Something has to change. And I had this very weird epiphany and simultaneous moment of indignation, looking back on the past couple of years and saying, well, you know, whenever I actually did that Law of Attraction thing, i.e. whenever I did a manifesting method like gratitude or visualization or anything like that, life seemed to start to get better before I stopped doing it. So you know what? I don't care what happens. I don't care when it happens. I don't care why it happens or how it happens or any of that. I'm going to go all in with this thing once and for all. And when I say all in, I don't mean all day, every day being happy, you know, happy thoughts all day, every day, because I understood that that's not actually sustainable. It's not sustainable to be in a good mood all day, every day. But I was motivated and upset enough that I could say, listen, I can do 5 or 10 minutes a day of these manifesting methods, and I can be strategic and modify these methods to make them more easy for me and more in line with my personality so I can stay consistent with them. And Carl, it was like kind of like a movie where like once I made that decision and once I went down that road, all these amazing things happened. Like within 2 weeks, I felt better, not like 100% better, but way better than anyone with a broken heart had any business feeling. Within 3 months, I was in a brand new, way better, way healthy relationship. Within 4 months, I was making more money than at any point in my life before then, up to that point. And within 6 months, everything was different. I was waking up happy and fulfilled. I was in the best shape of my life. And I basically learned the hard way that whatever this thing is, and we'll call it the law of attraction, you can call it whatever you want, it works when you work it. And the funny thing about it was, that's 2008. I never really thought that I would write a book at that point. I mean, it was something, an idea in the back of my mind. And I went through life, you know, wins, losses, success, failures, all these different things. And I became somewhat successful in different ways. And I hit a new point in 2019 where I wanted to do something fun and ambitious with business, but I didn't want it to be a thing where, to be candid, I was going to get bored or frustrated or impatient with my customers. I was like, okay, what is it about my life that's interesting to me that I can do that it's actually going to be really fun to kind of go down that road? I'm like, oh, well, I don't think like most people don't even know like the place that the law of attraction has in my life. And I basically had to say, okay, law of attraction. Well, I also know that there's like 1,000 books out there. And the only way that this is even going to work is if I can bring something brand new to the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. And I know I had to bring something new to the conversation. Well, to make a long story a little bit longer here, I then finally had to give myself permission, because it's a very ambitious thing to write something like the last law of attraction book you'll ever need to read, and know that I have to live up to that really bold, ambitious promise and title. And I really just took all the things that I knew and I had experienced in years prior and found a way of hopefully articulating them in a way that I think other people could relate to and click with. Because my attitude is, the more personal a problem is, the more universal it is. So all the issues that I had, all the things that prevented me from using it for 4 years, I figure everyone else is going through it also and it probably quit. What if I could articulate my solution to them so that they can implement it themselves? And that's my really long-winded answer of why this.
Yeah, no, I love it, because it's also kind of like a mission for you.
Yes.
Just you wanting to simplify something. If, you know, if I believe that something would change people's lives for the better, and I can make it simple for them, like, you know, it's literally like, oh, what if I invent this food and it has all the nutrients that you have, and this is the last food you'll ever eat or want to eat to be healthy, right? Mm. So it's also not like the mere fact that you wanted to share it with other people is very, it's already driven by like a really strong and positive mission. So I like that. I like that story. And one of the highlights there with what you shared, and one of my favorite things about the book, is you mentioning about focusing on being in a happy mood or being in a positive mood, and how that actually, like, a lot of good things start there. So can you expound on that and maybe share some stories of goals that you have achieved simply by starting there?
Yeah, well, so the interesting thing about, you know, being in a good mood, and you're talking about, like, you know, about making things simple, it almost sounds too simple that, mm-hmm. like, if you're in a good mood, good things will happen. And there's so many different ways of explaining the why behind this that may or may not resonate. You know, one way of saying it is, you know, we are all actually vibrational, and we're all made of frequencies, including our thoughts. And that if you're feeling good thoughts, it's creating a vibration and a frequency that's resonating with the universe, that's then mirroring back other things and other reasons and other circumstances for you to continue to experience those positive emotions. But if you're not on board with that, well, then understand your subconscious mind and the fact that it's still, even with a, you know, ChatGPT and AI and everything, it's still the most powerful computer, supercomputer that we know of. And if you're feeding your supercomputer positive messages, it actually has no choice but to create or replicate positive experiences that will help match those emotions for you. So the thing about feeling good is actually a strategy. It's a strategy towards having reasons to feel good about. And it's a very tricky thing, because a lot of people, when they screw up the law of attraction, you know, when I say screw up, they screw up the methods, is they like do a method, they do a visualization, and they do it for the sake of getting their result. And then the right. result never comes. And they're like, well, wait a second. I did this method Andrew or somebody else said to use to get my result, and it's not coming. What's going on here? Something's wrong. And the problem is, and the trap that they inadvertently fell into, is they did the method to get the result, which is like, well, duh. Well, the thing is, when you're doing the method to get the result, you're actually doing the method with the consciousness and the awareness that you don't have the thing that you want. Therefore, whether you believe in the universe or your subconscious mind, you are screaming to whoever's listening that you don't have your thing. And reality is therefore only more than happy to affirm for you, yeah, you still don't have your thing. Whereas right. if you do a manifesting method, whether it's visualization or scripting or gratitude or whatever, if you just do it for the sake of feeling good in the moment, then you're telling the universe, you're telling the your vibration, you're telling your frequency, you're telling your subconscious mind, whatever you believe in, you're telling God, now you have what you want. Now you have reasons to be grateful, and therefore things happen. And, you know, quantum physics is an easy way of saying it happens. It just happens. It's like if you are very, very, you know, astute, and if you're just very intentional about making sure that you're putting positive emotion into your day, things just work out. And that's whether it's me finally getting in shape, whether me finally meeting someone that resonates with me feeling better after a broken heart, me making all that money after all that time, me selling over 100,000 copies of this book, and all the other things that are good in my life, articulated and not articulated, just by doing that intentionally every single day for even just a few minutes, it has this tremendous power and this tremendous leverage that gets better and better and bigger with every passing day.
I love that. I love the terms tremendous power and tremendous leverage. People forget that they are like the CEO of their lives. You know, you have tons of choices. Like, you know, when people keep bringing up the things that are wrong in their lives, oh, but I'm this, I grew up here, we're poor, my parents are divorced, I'm dyslexic, whatever, right? Like, there's so many things that are in their way and they keep on focusing on that. But there's also so many things that are, you know, playing to their advantage, and they never see it just because they don't focus on it. So I love that term that you use of thinking good thoughts. You know, obviously we're explaining it in the simplest way possible and using that as an anchor for tremendous power and tremendous leverage. What can you say about people experiencing depression? When you experience depression, the simplest things are so difficult. How can they get out of it? How can they start?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first thing I say is I'm not going to pretend that something bad in their life is not happening. I mean, you know, I'm out there. I'm not living the life. I'm just going to take your word for it. Like, if you're unhappy about something, you're depressed about something, it is what it is. But my attitude is, well, wherever you are in your life, whether you're happy or you're depressed, whether something good is happening, whether it's bad, something's happening. Mm-hmm. What my question to myself is always, what can I do strategically to invite either a continuation of good things or an improvement over bad things? All I'm interested in is, okay, how can I make my life as fulfilling and happy as possible? So when someone's depressed, I'm like, okay, cool, you're depressed, I get it. Try to do something strategic in a way of just even taking yourself out of that depression for just 5 minutes, to which people say, well, Andrew, you don't know how bad life is right now. You know, it's like, what is there to be grateful for? I'm like, okay, let's do a little checklist here. What is there to be grateful for no matter what you have going on in your life? What about your heart that's been beating in your chest every single second of every minute, of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, of every decade that you've been alive, tirelessly pumping blood, nutrients, oxygen to all the other parts of your body that continue to serve you, your hands, your feet, your toes, your fingers, your arms, your eyes, your ears, your power of, you know, your ability to see things, to hear things. You know, I was using a slip joint knife the other day, and I nicked the tip of my thumb. And it was open, it was bleeding. And all of a sudden now I had to type for a couple of days without the use of my thumb. It's like, do you realize how important your thumbs are just to function in life? Do you realize how important your heart is? Do you realize the ears you have to hear this message, whether you agree with it or not, the eyes to see, the device that you are experiencing this on, that you run your entire life, that if you don't have love, you can get a dating app. If you don't have money, you can do research. You could buy books like 100 million offers. Like, there is always so much to be grateful for, even when you're having a really bad day, even when things legitimately suck. And I always try to keep that in mind because, again, it's a strategy. It's not like, oh, I mean, no offense to people that are just like airy-fairy and happy, more power to them. I'm more practical. I'm like, listen, I get that life isn't perfect. Let me be intelligent about this and find ways of just making it way better, because I know based on my past experience that it is possible, no matter how impossible it seems in the moment, no matter how things, you know, just they seem impossible to deal with, things can get better. And the best thing you do, and the only thing that you can do, is lean in that direction, because otherwise you're only going to go further in the wrong direction anyway.
Right. It's always like, that's powerful too, going in the right direction. Sometimes it's the smallest step that builds up your, you know, the rewards that you feel. And even you have like small wins. That's why, you know, the military talks about making your bed every morning, you know, having these little things and stacking these small wins that makes you feel better and better about the next thing. Like, for example, I've done a lot of time management workshops in my life when I was doing like executive coaching. And in time management, they talk about like dopamine and how your brain feels rewarded literally every time you just check off a task from your list. And the more tasks you check, the more dopamine you get. So you actually start doing more things and feeling good as you're doing more things. So, yes. You know, so whatever is the smallest thing that you can do to make you feel better, I think that's a good start. That's a good place to start. And if you're heading the right direction and you're doing the right thing, you know, some days can be hard, even for high performance individuals, like even Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, they have down days. The best, the most badass female CEOs still get their period when they feel sucky and and weak and like that they want to cry. You know, it's just our hormones as women. So, you know, getting small wins is always more important than you think. The other big topic that I picked up from your book is gratitude. And actually, if you guys, you know, you guys who are listening, if you grew up Catholic or Christian, you might be familiar with the structure of a prayer. I really wanted to share this example because I want people to remember, you know, a lot of us grew up with religion and then we kind of lost it, you know, when we were teenagers, we're trying to be cool and do all the drugs and drink all the alcohol and date the wrong people, especially skaters. No, I'm just kidding. but I think I have a theory that every girl has regretted dating at least one skater in their life. But, you know, I might check that theory on my next book about dating coming soon. but if you remember when they teach you about prayer, they always say that the best structure is you start with thanking the Lord about everything that you have, all the blessings you have. And then you ask forgiveness, and then you ask for the stuff that you want to ask. And in catechism, I grew up also like Catholic AF and in Catholic schools, and they always emphasize the importance of gratitude first. And of course, I was one of those teenagers that have, you know, lost my way. I don't need the Lord or religion. And then now, learning about law of attraction and manifestation and affirmations and self-care journaling, I actually realized all over again how important gratitude is. Now, in your book, you had a claim, how to use gratitude to anchor your mindset for automatic success. Mm-hmm. So that is a pretty, pretty strong reason to use gratitude and revisit that concept. Can you expound on this, Andrew?
Yeah, so one of my favorite manifesting methods in the book, which for me, it works for anything, but I remember I use this in particular when I was making huge leaps financially, you know, back when I was turning my life around. I call this time lapse method. And the way it works is you're basically going to write down 15 things that you're grateful for. Five of them are from your past. Five are from your life in the present, and five are things that you're actually looking forward to enjoying in the future. But you're going to write everything in the present tense as if it's happening right now. And then you're going to jumble up that list. Maybe the first thing is a present, followed by a past, followed by a future, whatever it might be. So you've got this list of jumbled up things, all that sound in the present tense, 15 things, And you're going to just go down the list one thing at a time. You're going to read the first thing, and it could be in your mind. It could be out loud. It doesn't matter. You're going to read the thing, and then you're just going to give yourself 20 to 60 seconds to feel gratitude for whatever that is. And then you're going to move on to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And the really cool thing about this method that I devised, I mean, I structured it this way very intentionally. 2/3 of that list is real, as in it either has happened for you that you have experienced it, or it is happening and you are experiencing it, meaning the gratitude that you experience for those things has a certain authenticity and a certain power and immense leverage to it that just can't be manufactured. But since we as humans don't downshift very easily, and you've interspersed the future things on that list, the gratitude that you feel for those future things is going to be just as potent, just as powerful. It's as if you're enjoying that too. So not only are you getting the win of feeling good in the moment and being grateful for things that you have, but depending on your beliefs, you're either programming your subconscious mind or the universe or God or everything. You're programming what's important to bring what you want into your life faster and better. So all those things that you want, they really feel like they're yours. And that's the whole point of this method to begin with.
I love that. I love that. So when you say, though, like automatic success, can you quantify that? What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, what is automatic? Automatic is things happen without you having to do anything. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to do anything, but it means the action that you take, it'll be inspired action, but things will unfold. So I'll give an example here. I know a lot of your audience are probably more entrepreneurs, but let's just talk about someone like in a corporate structure, corporate environment, and they want that big promotion. And they've been studying law of attraction, and they've been thinking about their promotion every single day for the year, and it hasn't happened. And they're like, Andrew, what's going on here? And I'm like, well, are you thinking about that promotion with a sense of, you know, happiness, anticipation, gratitude, enthusiasm? Or are you thinking about it with a sense of impatience and frustration and negativity? Because if you're doing that way, you're actually thinking about the lack of the promotion and you're reaffirming that, which is why you're so pissed off. However, if you're thinking about the promotion itself with gratitude, the way things will unfold is you're going to start carrying yourself in a certain way that you don't even realize you're doing consciously, where people are going to respond to you better. Ideas that are going to be valuable to your boss are going to come up. People are going to notice you. People are going to be looking to you for more things. The boss is going to think of you first when they have a big project lined up. These things that you're not consciously forcing by your hand are just going to unfold. The same thing if you're thinking about, you know, manifesting a good relationship. Well, you're still going to go on the dating app. You're still going to write the profile. But people that you never would have thought were even in your league are going to start like liking you or liking you back. Or you're just going to know, or something's going to occur to you that you never would have thought of to put in your profile that really explains who you are in a more appealing way that people now notice that you never would have thought of beforehand. In other words, automatic in that things just seem to happen, whether they're like, you know, super out of the blue or it's kind of a combination, but things just unfold. And before you know it, what you want not only is happening, but it's already happened and you're already on to the next thing. And you almost didn't even notice that you already got what you want.
Right, right. Well, I love that. I love that. And it's also like you might normally surprise yourself how fast things come to you when you just start doing all of the things that you learned from this book, from this podcast that we're discussing today. I love the past, present, and future structure. I'm going to practice that. So I do love journaling. I think it's a great form of self-therapy. It costs you nothing. And it also gives you data, if you're a data nerd like me, it also gives you data about your own life. So I actually keep all of my journals, and I'm a firm and a big advocate of journaling and just how it helps you articulate your feelings and face all of your demons by being completely honest with yourself. I love that. You know, success is something that is not an amount of money, right? It's not one feeling. It's not having one person in your life that will quote unquote like complete you. And most of all, with the method that you shared, you're also like not forcing it by hand or, you know, because the thing with a lot of people get wrong about law of attraction is like they feel like they're shaking someone's shoulders and saying, give it to me, right? It's not. It's there. It's actually there. And then things are just rearranging so that you get it at the right time. It's working for you. Even the worst, there's a lot of lessons to be learned from like the worst things that has ever happened to you. Like think about Man's Search for Meaning, right? Like that famous book about this Holocaust survivor and all the good things he brought out of that experience. So another thing that I noticed in your book is that there was a lot of kind of a simple reminding of people that they should continue to use this, method and to use this tool. And because it is what it is, a method and a tool, right? So it is not a panacea. It is not, you know, it's not a band-aid also. But it is a tool and it's here and we can use it anytime we want. And we have the freedom to do that. All we need is to decide. So there are a lot of people who might not find this, the law of attraction concept, like sexy, or they might think that it's woo-woo. So what do you say to these people? And so the people who don't care about the law of attraction, how can they still benefit from it and what it teaches in all areas of their lives?
So when someone comes to me and they say, well, you know, Andrew, law of attraction isn't real. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's not even think about law of attraction. Let's think of something. And I know I'm kind of like butchering and oversimplifying, but let's think about the concept of like lifting weights to get muscles, which by the way, you don't do one day and then stop. It's a practice, but that's a whole different thing. But okay, lifting weights to get muscles. Well, let's look at two possible explanations to how this works. Explanation number one is you go in the gym and you lift some weights. And you go to sleep, and while you're sleeping, the muscle fairy comes and waves a magic little wand, and poof, the next day you wake up with more muscles. Magic, right? Okay, explanation number two, which again, I know I'm butchering this a little bit, but when you are working out, you're actually putting so much stress on your body that your muscles are tearing in little areas. And then your body heals itself, the healing mechanism kicks in, and it fills in those gaps with more muscle fiber, hence more muscles. Now, the thing is, if I was going to say, which is the right answer? I think, you know, most people would say, well, Andrew, it's the second one. To which I tell them, well, unless, you know, you're a personal trainer or a physical therapist or someone that really needs to understand the way the body works, technically, it doesn't matter what the answer is. All that matters is, you know, you lift weights, you get muscles. You put in X, you get Y. And by that same token, when you go through, you know, a process of just feeling gratitude, feeling good about something for just 5 minutes a day, and you do that consistently without any specific requirement, without needing something to happen in a certain time in a certain way, you just do it, by hook or by crook, things will just happen. And when they happen, please don't give me credit. Don't give my book credit. Don't give the law of attraction credit. Don't give the universe credit. Don't give anyone or anything credit, but at least recognize that you made this decision. You took this new course of action and good things started to happen. And use that as a motivation to just continue on with that. Because the thing about it is, yes, I know I'm saying gratitude, which I know is like a huge, almost annoying buzzword that people hear all the time, and it kind of gets old after a while. The thing about it is, gratitude in and of itself is actually a win. Like, even if that thing that you want never manifests, the fact that you're taking out a few minutes a day to feel positive emotion, not only physiologically speaking, but just emotionally speaking, it's a huge win, because you're taking these 5 minutes that you otherwise would have been stressed about your business, stressed about your love life, stressed about your kids, stressed about the state of the world or something else. You're just feeling good instead. It's a win in and of itself. So anyone that doesn't believe in the law of attraction, cool, don't believe in it. Take 5 minutes just as a gift to yourself to feel good in some way, shape, or form. Then something happens, cool, which, you know, spoiler alert, it will. But even if it doesn't, you're still getting that win just by doing that.
Right, right. Yeah, so focus on feeling good and doing something that feels right to you. Another example that I can share, you know, very simple. A lot of people can relate to this. Do you remember when you are working on an office job, you have this like cubicle or table, and you're there for 8 hours? So sitting at a desk for 8 hours doesn't sound fun. Even if you say you love your job and you love your coworkers, that just doesn't sound fun. So I was wondering if you guys remember these little moments when you would go out for a Kit Kat, or if you would go to the pantry just to gossip with someone, and you don't mean anything wrong about gossiping, just kind of made you feel better. And then that feeling that you feel when you go back to your desk and you're just like, ah, I'm refreshed and I'm ready, right? So I think that's like, you know, for me personally, that's like my metaphor of deciding to feel better and taking little steps to feel better. No step is so small and so insignificant that it doesn't contribute to your life. And our life is made up of these small things and these little habits and these little, like these perceptions of how we see things. I think I'm generally more optimistic than most people. Sometimes it annoys people because they would say like, Carla, things don't just go out of your way. But honestly, guys, I am a radical believer that I am favored. Things will go my way. If I lost at something, one of my friends was actually kind of like a mental genius, actually told me that he noticed that I remember my wins and I just casually forget my losses. And I think that is because I'm just like a radical believer that everything will work out for me, even at the worst, you know, moment. Do you think that is a matter of ego or narcissism? Is that dangerous? Like, what do you think of that mindset? I need to know now.
It's like, you know, the way I look at people that succeed and I listen to how they describe how they go about things. And more often than not, the person that's like super successful talks about this kind of thing, about finding ways of feeling good, finding ways of interrupting their pattern. And I think the reason for anyone where this isn't really landing yet, it's only, and please don't, you know, don't take this as offense, but it's just a simple lack of self-awareness. And what I mean by that is we don't viscerally feel the impact, the negative impact that we are actually putting ourselves through when we don't deviate from negativity long enough and just take a break. And a way to articulate this that I've never said before is, imagine someone said, okay, you're going to walk on a really fast, annoying treadmill for the next 8 hours. So you have two choices. You can walk or run on this treadmill for the next 8 consecutive hours, which I think everyone understands right away. Okay, an hour and it's going to suck. 2 hours and it's really going to suck. 5 hours and you're going to be miserable, assuming you could even stand up. Well, you can do that, or you could run the treadmill for 20 minutes and then you can get a 10-minute break. And then you could run another 20 minutes and get another 10-minute break. And another, and you can keep getting these breaks. Everyone's going to say, well, yeah, I need the break. That's what these 5 minutes of positivity are really about. Even if they're way more powerful and way more beneficial than just that. But again, even if you don't believe in the law of attraction, taking this time to intentionally feel good, because you don't viscerally feel how horrible it is if you're in this state of fight or flight all day without a break. And by the way, this is about resetting and you know, reconfiguring your brains, your neurons, your synapses, so that you are more positive. Because when you're a more positive person, you find more reasons to be positive. You find you have a better outlook. You deal with things better. You deal with pressure better. You have better ideas in the moment. You're more clutch. It's again, for me, this is all strategy. I obviously I care about feeling good, but I know just saying that doesn't serve people. So instead I'm like, okay, let me be practical and let me be strategic. What can we strategically do to make ourselves more primed, more ready, more in a position to be happy and to succeed?
Right. So, and the best thing about that is it's just a decision. No one will hand this to you. You can't buy it. You can't buy it. No one will hand it to you. You don't have to wait for anything. You know, you don't have to wait for its delivery. It is a decision that you can make right now. I think the other good thing of, thinking positively and making your little win, being in a positive mood and having a positive outlook, is it also dramatically changes the relationships around you. So even if we're not thinking about money or rewards in business, productivity, all of that, you know, improving your outlook in life and your perspective and being in that mood of, and so you're not like a hangry girlfriend or you're not a pouty sister, that is always a win in itself. So you know, so it's just wins all around. And I want you guys to remember that.
And you know, we always see people, we see everyone around us, but we don't see ourselves. Everyone listening has certain people that they just don't like being around.
Yeah.
Well, think about, why don't you want to be around these people? Well, because they're annoying, they're negative, they're tired, all the, who knows what it is, but there's certain reasons that you could probably articulate pretty well why you're certain people that even if they try to hang around with you, you don't want to hang around with them. It's the same thing. Like, you know, you want to make sure that you are not inadvertently having some kind of demonstration of some kind of quality that's turning other people off, because this is all connected. Besides the fact that, you know, again, I believe in frequency, I believe in the universe, I believe in law of attraction, but putting that aside, by being positive, you're just putting yourself in a position where you're going to network better. More people are going to like you. More people are going to recommend you, your product, your service, your business, you know, they, because they trust you, because they vouch for you, because they enjoy their experience of being around you. This, yeah. Again, this is all about finding ways of succeeding, and success breeds more success and failure breeds more failure. And you said it all, Carl, you said it's a choice that no one can do it for you, which is simultaneously the best and worst news at the same time. It's the worst in the sense that no one is ever going to do it for you because they think it's impossible for them to actually do it. But the good news is no one has to do it for you. You can do it for yourself. Like Carl, like you just said, it doesn't cost a cent. All it is you finally making that choice, that decision of going to do it. And I'll tell you my secret little playbook, my secret method that I do every single day. Cause I mean, I take my own medicine. I have done and will continue to do all the methods I teach about in my book and on my YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. But the one method I do every single day without fail is I pull out my phone and I open up the recorder app and I speak a message for a few minutes about all the things I'm grateful for, some from the past, some from the present, and yes, some from the future in the present tense. But I give all these things I'm grateful for and I send that message to my friend across the country who does the same thing for me. Sometimes I send mine first. Sometimes he sends his first. We've installed a certain level of social pressure and accountability because we don't want to let the other down. But it means for 5 minutes every single day, or 3 minutes if I'm in a rush, I feel good about things in my life and I continue to affirm them. I'm grateful for every single reader and customer and listener and subscriber. I'm grateful for the support of the platforms like YouTube. I'm grateful for fulfillment support, people that are shipping my book from Amazon after it's purchased. I'm grateful for the good news today. Whatever that good news may be, it's an open-ended invitation. I'm grateful for my creativity. I'm grateful for my resources, my resourcefulness. I'm grateful for, you know, things resolving themselves easily. I'm grateful for every product, every sale. I'm grateful for all these things. And I say it to my friend, and then he brings his thing to me. And the improvements that we've seen in our lives, we've done this, we're in our sixth year of doing this now.
Wow.
He was there before I wrote this book and sold 100,000 copies plus. I was there before he made all these amazing leaps in his career, in his relationship with his daughters and his wife. We have seen incredible leaps in each other's lives, observing each other as we're exchanging this message back and forth. And by the way, if you don't have someone that you can do this with, that doesn't stop you from doing it on your own. You pull out your phone, you hit the recorder app, you say what you say. If you don't like to speak, you can write it. If you don't like to write, you could type it. Just do this, engage in this process for a few minutes a day and watch what magic unfolds. And when I say magic, I'm not going to, you know, lie here. Magic will unfold.
Yep. I definitely believe in magic. I believe that humans are so small of a thing to fully understand the universe. And however, we're also like a capsule of experiences. And we also have that choice on what we do with these experiences and what we do moving forward. I will definitely find a friend to do that with. Not my tax attorney for sure. I don't want him to know how much I'm making. I'm just kidding. And how much I'm going to make in the present tense. No, I'm just kidding. But that is a really good exercise. Honestly, I might just like convince my sisters to do it, to do it with me. But, you know, even if you're not, you know, even if you're not doing this with a friend, you can also do it by yourself. You can journal, or, you know, Facebook actually has, if you have Facebook, which like most people have, Facebook actually has a feature where you can send messages to yourself as a reminder. So I actually use this feature and send screenshots of certain things in just to kind of immortalize it and compare things, you know, from this one to this one. And, you know, if I'm monitoring like my business growth, I do this. I do a screenshot of Stripe in this like month. And then after like a year, I visit that again. And I just have this little cove of things and secrets. And so now everyone will be trying to hack my Facebook. And all the celebrity nudes that I've collected over the years. Andrew will be there soon. Andrew will be there soon because he's going to sell so many books now, and he's going to be a best-selling author. So you also mentioned about the one piece of information that most people may be missing. If they feel like they have been doing the law of attraction, practicing law of attraction, but it just hasn't been working for them. So what is this one piece of information that people could be missing?
Yeah, well, it's actually technically too. Like, I snuck it in before a little bit, so I'll kind of, you know, re-expound on it. It's, you know, the question of doing a method to get the result where it doesn't work versus let me do the method for the sake of enjoying the method in the moment. But there's another key piece to that. Because once you've solved that, once you realize it's about enjoying the method, there's still the question of consistency. So for me, the real key to all this, because again, this is a practice. You don't lift weights once. You have a workout regimen. The key to this is enjoying it so much, finding a way of making it enjoyable and convenient, not just, you know, for your schedule, for your time, finding a way of doing this where you actually look forward to it so that it's not something that you have to do. It's not some obligation or some burden, but it's something that you look forward to. It's something that you get to do. It's something that you're excited about every single day for only 5 minutes. And because it's only 5 minutes, it doesn't get in the way of, you know, making breakfast in the morning, of taking kids to school, of going that business meeting. So the key of all this is understanding that you have to enjoy the method for the sake of enjoying the method, and you have to choose methods or create ones of your own that are so fun, so enjoyable, that being consistent with this, doing this every single day is automatic, which is what I've done, again, with my little phone thing with my friend, where it's easy, it's fun, it's convenient, it's done. It's a done deal. I do it every single day. I've been doing it for over 5 years now.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. So I definitely resonate with your point on doing something for the sake of enjoyment, and because, you know, it's like, it's going to bring you good instead of doing it as a task in anticipation of a result. So I have been there. I actually remember this conversation with my therapist when I told her that I'm doing all the things. Why am I still like anxious or depressed? And she was like, okay, so what are you doing? I told her I meditate every day. I have my Headspace app here. I was like, here, look at my Headspace.
like, look at it.
Look at it. And then I said, yeah, like I meditate every day, at least 10 minutes on Headspace. I journal every day. I read, I work out every day. Here, look at my sports band. Look at my sleep. I sleep 8 hours. Look at the quality of my sleep. And she was just like starting to giggle. And she was like, the way you're talking, it feels like you're preparing for war, not trying to feel better. And that point of view that you're just doing all of these things to achieve feeling better, I have already lost the game. She said, I have already lost the war by preparing for the war. So I definitely remember that moment because she was right. I was doing it wrong. It's almost like dating someone and doing things for them so that they will do the things for you too. Like, it doesn't work that way. And so I have stopped doing all of those things with that mindset. And I've also adjusted my actions for the items and how I can make them like more enjoyable. So for example, I recently discovered how to use Instagram Reels. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome, because I have no skills in video editing and I can make reels for fun. And then I realized, well, why don't I make like a mind movie? Or why don't I use this feature to make a nice video with a nice, you know, background music of all the things that I want to manifest? So I downloaded pictures of my dream home. my dream trip, my dream wedding, my dream like business, an amount in my bank account, everything, me like playing the piano or whatever, like just my dream life. And I put it on Reels and I make sure to watch it every day. And I'm going to share something TMI and something that might disgust some people. So my next challenge is I couldn't find time to watch this video. It's like a 3-minute video. And I also didn't want to put it, I don't want to do an alarm. I just felt like that was an unnatural thing. And I also don't want to put it on my to-do list. So how can I habit stack? So one thing that I actually did is I take a look at this video when I'm pooping. So then I always remember, well, I'm not doing anything right now. I'm just pooping. So so that's my time to wash it. So I think it has worked for me.
New method, the poop reel method. It's like courtesy of Carla, the poop reel method. It's like just make a reel while you poop.
the last poop of attraction that you'll ever do.
But you know, it's funny, like all kidding aside, what you've done is you've said, okay, what is something that I do every single day and how do I incorporate this? Like you're strategically going in line with human nature to ensure that you're actually going through the reel.
Yeah. So tools, guys. Tools. Practicality.
Tools and stools, you know?
Tools and stools. So if you have a habit, drinking coffee in the morning that you do every day, I don't know if anyone can beat my pooping timing, though. I think I'm the real genius here, Andrew, not you.
Well, apparently, here I'm waiting for my phone to chime in when my friend sent me a message as my cue. But it looks like there might be a better way of doing it. So
let nature tell you when to be grateful.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure all the platforms this may be on, but anywhere where the commenting is possible, please feel free to comment and give your thoughts on whether it's better for a reel in a certain toilet situation or something else.
Yeah. So if I get diarrhea, I'm watching that reel 5 times a day now, and now I can manifest faster.
It's the new name will be Diarrhea. So
perfect. Oh my gosh. I think I just like started crying from laughing. And now I feel better and I can manifest more things
there,
in my life.
There you go. And you brought up like, you know, a really important point, like that story with your therapist, how like, you're like, listen, I'm doing all the things. Where's my stuff? Or where's my lack of stress? And, you know, you're mentioning like, you know, it's like not like you're going to war. In many ways, it's a war, but it's a spiritual war and it's waged differently. It's waged without weapons. Mm. And that's the thing, like the war that's waged without weapons means you're approaching it in a completely different way. And, mm-hmm. and that's why, you know, everyone's mind works differently. And, you know, in the sense that, you know, certain things motivate people and other things frustrate people. I've learned in my life, the way my personality is, not to be like, I'm going to get this thing in 90 days, because when it's 89 days left and 88 days left, for me, I feel more pressure. So my personal attitude is I'm going to get the thing and I'm leaving an open-ended invitation to the universe, not only with the timing with which it comes, but the manner with which it comes. And not every time, but more often than not, I do get the thing faster and better than I could have decided on my own, which is why I'm a huge proponent of like, listen, you do these methods, but don't like, you know, don't circle on your calendar every day. Like I've done it for 50 straight days now. It's like, unless you're proud of yourself and excited about that, don't do it. Don't do just a thing like I've put this work in and I deserve it, because that's another way of inadvertently screaming that you don't have the stuff that you want.
Right.
Which is holding you back. So again, we're waging a war without weapons, meaning we're doing it very differently.
Right. It's almost like talking to God and then saying, but I did all of these nice things. Where are my blessings?
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. It's like, you know, so that is good. So don't use your self-care methods as like an advance payment on something, like a layaway plan on something, because it just makes you emphasize on the lack. So I want you guys to really, really remember that part. There are many ways to manifest things in our lives. There are many ways to express or practice law of attraction. Like, look at me. I found like a weird way to do it. And there's always a way that you're comfortable with that is fun for you. For me, it's actually funny for me. And I giggle. I still kind of, tickle myself every time I think about it, but it works. And so you can try different things and see what works for you. You're going to find something that works for you and that's fun. And that's also practical and you can incorporate it in your day. You don't lose anything. And the other part of that is there's also no overdose. So there's also no such thing as you're doing this too much. That's the amazing thing. Okay, last question. So do you really need to believe in the law of attraction for it to work? And why?
Yeah, well, so the answer is no, fortunately. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing about it is, even people that, you know, they learn about the law of attraction that are willing to try it, even in the back of their mind, a lot of people don't believe it. Uh-huh. And by the way, the way to know whether you believe in it a lot is like when something comes, are you surprised? If you're surprised, then you technically didn't believe in it as much as you thought you did. Otherwise, you wouldn't be surprised, right? So the thing is, believing in it certainly helps more often than not, because it means that you'll be motivated enough to say, okay, I want to take these few minutes out of the day and enjoy it and feel this gratitude. But you don't. And, you know, just look around you. There's people all the time that are, in my opinion, using the law of attraction, but not acknowledging it. I think that, you know, I put one of these videos on YouTube, on my channel when I was growing it. And this is like 2 years old now. And I'm going to date myself a little bit, but I don't know if you like, remember back in the day, MTV had that show, The Real World. Mm-hmm. And I think it was their 10th season. They went back to New York, and there was this cast member, Mike, and he was a huge fan of, you know, WWF, which is now WWE, and he wanted to be like this wrestling champion, and he was a fan of The Rock, and his last name was Mizanin, so he starts calling himself The Miz. So you could actually like find on YouTube, if you search tough enough, if you search closely enough, him running. He bought this toy championship belt in a shop, and he started running around the house like, I'm The Miz. I'm The Miz, I'm the champion. And he's like wrestling with his castmates, and they're doing simulated like wrestling scenes, and they're having a kick-ass time. And I remember that the end of that season, like, you know, again, people watch, it's like everyone starts leaving the house until there's one person left. Mike was the last one in the house left. So with just the cameras and him in the empty house, he like holds up his belt. He's like, I'm The Miz, everyone's happy, everything's gonna work out, da da da. And not too long after that, he went to wrestling school. He went to WWE. And almost 10 years to the day of him doing that and holding up that toy championship belt, he actually became the real WWE champion.
Wow.
In November 22nd, 2010. I remember it very distinctly. It was an episode of Monday Night Raw. And the reason I remembered it was because I remember him pretending and like he was visualizing, he was scripting, he was, you know, emoting and bringing out this frequency. And yes, he worked really hard to get it. But that hard work was inspired action, driven by the vision and driven by all these things and all these unbelievable obstacles that he had to overcome in order to do this, because thousands of people have won a Super Bowl. Thousands of people have won an NBA championship. Thousands of people have won a World Series. Fewer than 100 men have ever won the WWE championship. Even though it's not, you know, a real sport, it's still a really difficult thing to attain. Fewer than 100 men have done it, and he did it. And I believe, even though I don't think he would acknowledge it, he used the law of attraction in order to get there.
I love that. So, you know, definitely, guys, look up that guy, and definitely look for Andrew Kapp on, that's K-A-P, on YouTube. You're going to find lots of videos like that. So very quickly, I've definitely had some of those experiences. And I know that also, like, when you start to kind of affirm and manifest these things, I also believe that you're also kind of deciding to change who you are at a cellular level. And so for me, I definitely believe that. I have won some championships in my life. And I have, I think my dad, I'm super lucky that my dad definitely taught me about law of attraction early on. And I would just view myself as like this champion. I have won like a poker championship, debate championship, and some writing, you know, journalism contests and all that. But my dad was always like, if you visualize yourself as a winner, you are a winner. You know, you are a winner, and that's who you are, and you get to decide who you are. And if, you know, I was obviously very young, but my parents also never viewed me as otherwise. You know, it also helped that they believed in me, and it made it easy for me to see myself in that way. And now when I try a new thing, I just always assume that I'll excel in it. And when I put enough work, that I have the capacity to get there. And it's just a matter of decision for me. And I recommend reading You Are the Placebo by Dr. Joe Dispenza. I think that's also like a really, really good book about deciding things in your life and taking back your power. So for you, Andrew, can you share some really outrageous things that you have achieved that that you feel has been brought on by like manifestation and law of attraction?
Well, I mean, I think selling 100,000 copies of a book is, you know, so just to paint the picture here. And I'm, you know, by the way, I'm honestly genuinely grateful for every last sale, every last customer and reader. So I did a little research on Google for the new book, Three Words I Use to Sell 100,000 Books. And I learned that if you are an independent author, on average, you could expect to sell in the entire life of your book, not the first year, the entire life, 200 to 500 copies of your book.
Really?
200 to 500. That's it. If you are backed by a major publisher, and by the way, I am not, I'm independently published. If you are backed by a major publisher, Penguin House or whatever it might be, on average, the entire life of your book, 2,000 to 5,000 copies, which when you think about it in this day and age, you know, Uncle Sam's going to take half that money. Like, you basically put 2 or 3 years of life or whatever, you know, whatever into that to get nothing. I put 9.5 weeks of writing this thing, and I got 100,000 plus copies sold out of it. That there's been hard work every single day, but it's been inspired action, and it's been supported by all the things unfolding, because I can't be there in person holding this book up in front of everyone's face. It's finding its way to people without me. If that's not law of attraction, I don't know. It found its way to, we've not shared a room together, an actual physical space, in 4 years. Right. And we haven't had a conversation like this in 4 years. This happened because the book found its way to you. It was attracted through what I've done, through what you do. And that's the beauty. It's all connected. So 100,000 copies for me, I think that's a big deal. I think turning my life around, I mean, you know, in that period of time when I was turning my life around, I lost 25 pounds like in 7 weeks without even trying. Like it happened. I shed the weight. I was working out, but I wasn't working out to lose the weight. I was just working out to feel better about myself. You know, finding that new relationship, having the money pour in where like I'd been struggling for 4 years trying to get that business to work and there was no money. And all of a sudden I was making more money than any point in my life before then. You know, these to me are huge things. And, you know, there's other ones, but it's like, I'm almost like I'm saving them in reverse. And I try to like, I try to highlight my reader stories, you know, because it's very, for me, you know, to rationalize, well, Andrew's the author. He's trying to sell his book. Of course, he's going to say this. I love the story of like someone, they posted a review on Amazon. I remember this. It was April 21st, 2022, if I'm not mistaken, that they lost their business over all the COVID stuff. And after reading my book, they were inspired and used the methods, and they were making millions of dollars a month in their business. Someone else randomly left a comment on one of my YouTube videos that she'd been trying to get pregnant for 8 years, in vitro, all this stuff. And 2 months after using methods that she learned, she manifested pregnancy. And actually later on, she actually had a second child. So in this time, she's had 2 children after 8 years of nothing happening. So like the amazing does happen. And the truth is, it is amazing. It is miraculous, but it also happens every day.
Right.
And I'm reminded of, I remember that show, Smallville, which like, you know, Superman, yeah, back when Superman. He was like Clark Kent.
Yeah.
There was an episode where he like lost his memory. He didn't know who he was. And he tried to like open a door that was locked and he tore it off and the door went flying. And to him, this was like this weirdest thing. Like, how could this door, I grab it gently and pull it. How does it go flying? Because he didn't understand the power that was actually with him physically. Everyone listening, you are vibrationally speaking, you are Superman, you are Superwoman. You have this immense level of power and resourcefulness that you just don't see and perceive. It operates differently than pulling a door off its hinges, but it is operating. All you need to do is acknowledge that. And all you need to do is lean in for 5 minutes a day with gratitude. And, don't take my word for it. See what happens. But at least lean in ambitiously and adventurously and just wait and see. See for yourself through the own evidence of doing it for yourself.
Right. There's nothing to lose here, guys. There's literally nothing to lose. And if you also do it and you love it so much, there's also no overdose. So yeah. I think that alone is a win right there. Thank you so much for sharing, Andrew. I really loved our conversation today. I loved how we delved into some of the questions that people might be asking about law of attraction. I'm sure some of our listeners have more questions or they want to learn more about what you do, where you're hanging out, and maybe wanted to get their initial pulse on whether you're writing another book about law of attraction or not. So definitely share how can we find you and how can we interact with all of this amazing content that you have.
Yeah. So next book, don't know when it's coming, but it technically won't be Law of Attraction since I wrote the last Law of Attraction book.
You would be a liar.
Yeah, so I got to go a different direction. So finding me is easy. Right now, if you go to awesomemarvelous.com, that's got quick links to my, Law of Attraction book, my Three Words book, or my YouTube channel. So whether you want to, spend a few bucks for a Kindle or audiobook or print copy, or you don't want to pull out your wallet and you want to go to my YouTube channel and just get the content for free, my intention is simply that my content, whatever way you take it in, really serves you. So awesomemarvelous.com will very easily take you to checking out those projects. And, on Instagram, I'm Andrew Cap Insta, but I'm not very active. Like it's better to email me, if people get the book, there's bonuses. If they get the bonuses, they have my email. So if they want to reach out with questions, they always have the option. But for the most part, I've kind of designed it so that people don't even need to ask questions. They check out the YouTube channel. They read the book, whatever works for them. Things really should click.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, Andrew. It has been obviously a great pleasure. I had so much fun, so many laughs today. So I really appreciate it. I feel better. I don't have to do all those other things. So to everyone listening, definitely check out the website awesomemarvelous.com. You'll find all of Andrew's work there. And he has two books there. Definitely check it out. I finished Last Law of Attraction book, just out of the treadmill. And I loved it so much. I actually read it, listened to it 3 times back to back to back. And so I'm happy I did that. Like I said, there's no overdose. So you can do that. Thank you so much for everyone listening. And this has been super amazing. If you have any comments, reach out to me on Facebook, Instagram, or on YouTube. I'll also be uploading this episode. And if you're feeling awesome and marvelous today, maybe you can give us a rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. That will really make us super duper happy. Thank you so much for hanging out with here at None of Your Business. See you again next Monday for another awesome and marvelous episode. Bye. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have 2 conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.